Blog Talk Radio.
Not quite New Year's Day. It's January 2nd, I believe. I don't know. Lost track of the days. This is a personal diary entry into the Blog Talk Radio Rattledge and Broadcasting Network. I am Mark Rattledge. you may know me as your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. I probably sound a little different. Actually, if you've heard the last week of shows that I've been on, I sound about the same. I'm going to try to do less throat clearing on this show, a little less gagging on my own voice box, I guess. It's been a while since I've just talked directly into my computer about any number of issues. And the last time I ventured down this journey was I was doing the diet diary and down 80 pounds, by the way, 80 pounds since September, since I started. But after about 2 weeks of that, I just, between a variety of subjects, issues, I never got back to it. And I don't know how often I'm going to do these. That's why I'm not numbering them. But I had a sort of personal, I don't know, crisis, I guess, recently. And I felt the need to talk about it. And I thought I was going to have some time to myself. But apparently, I need to take a moment and ask my daughter, what's wrong? What's wrong, Lily? What's the matter? What do you need?
Going to get out south, so I don't know what I can do now.
Go put your scooter back. Go shut the garage. Did you shut the garage door?
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
Go ahead and then go in your room and go read your book. Yeah. Book's on the table. Yeah. All right. So now that I've dealt with that, let me sort of recap a couple of things here and sort of get you up to speed and why I wanted to do this today. It had a great enough of effect on me that I've had a couple of breakdowns about it. And, I felt like the best way to deal with these things is to talk about them. Talk through your issues. And this is cheaper than therapy. So here it goes. A couple of weeks ago. Actually, let me go back a little further than that so you get some context. Last year, around this time, I got what amounts to be a yearly sinus infection with me. Between every Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year, somewhere in there, I get really sick. I get a really nasty sinus infection, and because I'm one part Ultimate Warrior and one part The Incredible Hulk. And I hate doctors. It's funny saying that working in the medical field, but I really do. I have a really poor relationship with the medical profession. Personal relationship. I don't go to the doctor. I don't get sick usually. And when I do get sick, if I get a really bad sinus infection, my drug of choice, they use the word self-treat, self-medicate. My self-medication is not NyQuil. NyQuil. We love you, you giant fucking Q. Sorry, I just finished watching the last season of Rescue Me, and I've got Dennis Leary on the brain. But NyQuil, good old green NyQuil, and Mucinex, it's the new favorite of mine. You just treat the body with NyQuil and DayQuil, which is basically NyQuil, but, you know, orange flavored. And Mucinex, and is blow your nose and see your brains fly out, and it's all over. You know, a couple of days of that, try to get some rest, and I'm back in tip-top shape. And, you know, with the weight, with the weight gain and everything, it was a little harder this year than in years past for me to get back on the old horse again. That was January of 2016. By April, and I know this because we had flown to Texas for WrestleMania, I came back, and at this point, I'm partially deaf. I'm throwing up constantly. And my sinus infection is not getting any better. You know, it ebbed and flowed there for a while. But by the time I got back from Texas, between my wife being sick and then me getting sicker than I was, that I mentioned this was now April, I said, I can't handle this anymore. I was at work. I had like a mini breakdown. You know, I finished my work. And I went into my boss's office and it's like, I can't function anymore. I literally can't, I can barely hear out of both my ears. And I feel like if I'm not vomiting, I feel like I want to just tear my own head off. She's like, you probably should go see a doctor. Now, something you need to know about me, and I did mention this before, I don't like going to the doctor. It's not that I'm afraid, it's that It's a lot of waiting to sit in a room to finally get called by the wizard for him to spend 2 minutes with you, write you a prescription, and send you out again. I feel like I'm pitching a screenplay half the time. I get this guy's attention for 1 minute to 2 minutes to try to tell him my story. And again, because I'm not a whiner, And I don't go to the doctor the minute I get sick. I got to give him some details. And it's like, they ain't got time for details. It's like, get your shit in and get out. So it's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to be bothered. I'll fix this myself if that's how it's going to be. Well, that only works so far. And someone will probably tell me, well, you don't understand. Doctors, whatever. I'm not saying none of you should go to the doctor. I'm saying that's why I didn't go. I didn't feel like I ever had the doctor's attention. That plus I had been to the doctors in the past and their excuse for anything that I felt was lose weight, you'll feel better. So needless to say, I pass. But my wife had discovered the CVS Minute Clinic. Now we're talking. I can book an appointment online. I can sign in online. I can go right in, be seen within minutes. The Minute Clinic. I can get seen by an ARNP, pitch him my story, get a script, get out, and get back to work. Hot dog. God bless America. So I go to the doctor. I go to the Minute Clinic. And this lovely person proceeds to tell me this is the worst sinus infection she's ever seen. Number one, I was close to going deaf. That's how bad my ears were. I had like almost ruptured an eardrum or some shit like that. So I don't know if deaf is the right word, but I definitely remember you're a hair's breadth away from rupturing an eardrum, at least on one side. The other one's probably getting there. And I had all this other stuff that was wrong with me. She was like, yeah, here's an elephant sized load of fucking Z-Pak, zithromycin, Levaquin, you know what I'm talking about. Here's medicine. And, you know, fix you right up. And here's some nasal spray. And here's this and here's that. Jesus Christ, go home. So I went back to work because, you know, I got to go to work. I can't leave. I mean, my work was done, but I can't just leave my shift. I promised I would come back. They told me I could go home, but I promised I would go back because I could still function. I just had a cold. Apparently the worst sinus infection she'd ever seen. Now, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And you would think that in April, after having a sinus infection built up to the point where I almost rupture an eardrum, I put this on Facebook, by the way. This is actually old information that I've shared with the public. But after being that sick and having to take all this medication to get over it, you know, you would think that if it happened again, I would do something about it. I would go to the doctor. Super. I would go to the MinuteClinic, my new little home away from home, a little piece of paradise. You would be wrong. I don't learn shit. So I guess I'm a little insane, just a smidgen. So let's fast forward a couple months down the road here, getting to be the fall season, holiday season of 2016, and I get another sinus infection. And do I go to the MinuteClinic, having learned from my previous experience? No, 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 no. NyQuil. Mucinex. Yes. My friends. Everyone out there, you know, you've got your drugs of choice. You've got your pot. You've got your liquor. You've got your meth. You got your crack. You got your opiates. Apparently, like a good cough medicine. So I make jokes, but I almost went with triple C's there, but I don't know if everyone knows what that is. Chloroquine cough and cold. I don't do triple C's, ladies and gentlemen. I don't really do drugs at all. But, you know, I hate having the shit in my throat, you know, the gunk, yellow snot. So sorry if that's gross for everybody, but, you know, whatever. I proceed to not take care of myself again. Over the course of a couple of days, I guess, weeks, who knows? I've lost track at this point. The sinus infection more or less clears up, I guess. I don't have the snot issue anymore. But I noticed something. I noticed it at work. And I think the day that became really evident to me was the Monday before Christmas. I'm having a hard time breathing. Let me say that again. I'm having a hard time breathing. You know, that thing Darth Vader does into a machine, that thing we need to do to live, that, you know, even babies know how to do instinctively after birth. I'm having difficulty with it. And at first, I was like, well, it's cold at work. I work in a jail. I work in a giant ice box, basically. And I don't always dress in long sleeves. So, you know, maybe it's just that. I mean, I'm talking like my normal course of movement and everything else, I'm usually fine. I mean, even exercising through all of this. You know, I'm going to the Y, I'm hitting the machines, whatever, and I'm doing okay. But I would notice that if I needed to take a deep breath, it would start to hurt. I actually felt pain in my heart. And I was like, huh, that's weird. So I ignored it because I'm smart like that. And like I said, fast forward to the Monday before Christmas. We go to Legoland here in Florida. And it's a fairly nice day out. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt. I insisted on buying a hat because the sun came out, and God forbid. I ignore the fact that I can't breathe, but I'm afraid my head might burn, so I buy a hat. Priorities. You didn't see it, but I just gave a thumbs up. I'm walking around Legoland with my family, and I'm noticing like a mild gradient upwards. I'm having difficulty breathing. If I have to walk even a little bit fast, I'm having trouble breathing. I finally turned to Melissa and said, hey, you know what? She's like, yeah, you seem like you're having some trouble. I'm having trouble breathing. Again, if I'm just taking a normal, regular, not shallow, but a normal, regular breath, I'm fine. I don't feel anything. But if I take a deep breath, because I'm out of breath very quickly, you know, I'm exerting myself, I feel pain in my heart. And I'm starting to think, huh, there's something wrong here. This has been going on for too long. I was just running not that long ago. This doesn't seem right. I should probably go to the doctor. So the next day, I ran errands. I hocked a bunch of Wii U equipment and some old podcasting equipment that was not working for me. I shouldn't say it wasn't working, but just podcast equipment I didn't need anymore, and video games, and just a bunch of crap that I had lying around the house collecting dust that was just waiting for my kids to break, you know, or taking up space. So I took that all down to the pawn shop, made myself a quick, you know, $110. And did some other stuff. This is all very important to me. You know, I'm out there trying to hustle, make an extra dollar. What's the one thing I didn't do? One thing that was on my agenda. The one time I was separated from my wife and kids that whole week that didn't involve work. One thing should have been top of my list that I did not do. If you guessed, I did not go to the Minute Clinic. You would be correct. Oh, and by the way, had another breathing incident. Just carrying stuff out to the car, exerting myself, having basically what amounted to an asthma attack. Didn't think this would probably be a good time to go to the Minute Clinic. No, I was focused on other stuff. So Tuesday comes and goes. I had every opportunity in the world because I did not have my kids. I did not have my wife. They were off doing play dates and shit. And I stayed home and I watched Netflix and ran errands. Wednesday, I go to work. Thursday, I go to work. Friday, we went to SeaWorld, which I will reveal a secret now. Okay. This is an exclusive, a podcast exclusive. Because on Facebook, I had put, hey, I'm not too fat to ride roller coasters anymore. Woo, personal growth, 80 pounds down, ladies and gentlemen. It works if you work it. Not quite. There's a ride at SeaWorld in Florida called the Mako, based on a shark, because it's SeaWorld. And they have a seat out front. Now, if you know anything about roller coasters, there's these ones that go super fast and they twirly up and down, toss you about. The new way that they've been doing it, isn't a new, you know, for years now, is it's a circular kind of a bucket seat. And if your ass is too fat or your hips are too wide, basically you just can't sit all the way down in the seat. Even if you don't have much of a gut, you're not going to get all the click, the click, 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 as Iglesias, comedian Fluffy, says in his special. You got to get all the click, 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 all the way down. Well, I got a click, didn't get three clicks. Now, I sat in the demonstration bucket. My father and I both missed the sign that said, in order for you to ride this ride, you need to get this red line all the way above this area. And we both missed it. And we got all the way to the top of the ride, and I got one click, and the woman said, are you sitting all the way down? Because you're not, you got to get two more clicks. And she sat on the thing, and she pushed, and after I was sufficiently mortified, I fucking ran off that ride like I was, you know, fleeing for my life. I was pretty embarrassed. So, yeah, not quite there yet. Didn't get to ride the ride. Still got work to do. Shit happens. Of course, that happened after I had already made the announcement that I rode the ride on Facebook. So, who's your number one asshole? That'd be me. Like I said, not a good look on me, but just shows I got more work to do. We'll try again this summer. Anyway, tooling around SeaWorld, still having some difficulties if I walk too fast. Thankfully, I was with my parents. My mother's back in the hospital. She had just gotten out of the hospital, so not like anyone's walking very fast today to begin with. And I was mostly pushing my kids in the stroller. It's a story for another day. So, you know, I didn't really exert myself too much. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Again, not a lot of exertion going on. Monday, back at work. Tuesday, back at work. Wednesday, starting to feel sick again, starting to feel like I pushed myself a little too much, not quite feeling like myself, didn't go to the doctor, didn't go to the Mini-Clinic, but I'm just tired. Of course, that makes total sense. Thursday, now I'm like, I actually said to Melissa, I need to go to the Mini-Clinic. Something's not right. I don't feel right anymore. I don't feel like myself. So it's not something you want to hear your husband say, I'm sure. And it's not like she didn't agree with me. She actually did say, you should go to the doctor. But you see, folks, she had a lunch plan, and that would leave me with the kids, a plan where I would do X, Y, Z, and she would do 1, 2, 3, and then we would meet for alpha, beta. Once that plan was laid, I did not deter from the path. Friends that had just gotten back into town. I didn't want to, you know, me wreck a play date. So, a truck by this point. I haven't seen a friend of the family and their kids, you know, for a while now, and I wanted to see them, and I wanted the kids to play together. So, you know, I did what any reasonable father would do. Put his health on the line so his kids could play in the park. Makes total sense. Lying on the park bench. I'm going through heroin withdrawal, basically. Look like. I see a lot of it. I work with these people. Probably wasn't feeling that way. I suspect it feels a lot worse to go through heroin withdrawal than what I felt like. But still, definitely looked like death warmed over. And we're driving home. Now it's like 4 o'clock. You should go to the Mini-Clinic. You look terrible. And I go to bed. Let me go to bed. Home. And I do proceed to go to bed. And I wake up all through the night. My fucking brain's out. I can't sleep. I'm coughing like I smoke 3 packs a day. And I think at some point I just gave up sleeping and went to my computer and I like worked on the budget or something, did bills. did some other stuff, trying to keep my mind occupied until I finally got tired enough to try to go back to sleep again. Wake up at 6 a.m. to go to work. So maybe I slept for another hour or two. Got up for work. This is Friday. Got up for work Friday morning. I can't make it from my side of the bedroom to the bathroom without gasping for air. My wife tells me to go take a shower. You know, the steam will open up my sinuses. I'll feel better. Well, unless that fucking sprinkler from the shower was showering me with the water from the fountain of youth. It's not that I felt worse, but I definitely didn't feel better. It took a lot of energy just to shower. And I'm trying to pull my clothes on, and I just feel weak, and I feel tired, and I feel like I have zero energy. In my brain, I'm going, I just didn't sleep well last night. This is what denial sounds like, everybody, okay? If you're ever wondering, like, could a man just narrate denial for me so that I know what it sounds like? This is it. This is happening. So picture, if you will, a wife seeing his husband struggling to dress himself. I'm 40 years old. And until today, until that moment, in reasonable good health, I've shed 80 pounds. I have a good ticker. I don't have cancer. And I can't dress myself without nearly passing out. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's cold. It was like 50 in Florida. My God, you know, must have been an ice storm. So it's cold. I'm a little lethargic. I'm a little weak. My wife goes, what do I need to do to help you? The right answer was either A, shoot me, or B, call in sick, stupid. Neither one of those things happened. So she makes me coffee, gathers my stuff for me, sends me on my way. I get to work. Work is only about a 20-minute drive. Parked car, walk from a reasonably close parking space to the front door. Front door to the medical clinic where I punch in, where I proceed to wheeze. Literally wheeze. I sound like this. I can't talk. People are like, hey, what's wrong with you? Okay, so I sound like Darth Vader now, minus the machine. And like, you need a breathing treatment. And here's all proud Rattledge. I don't take help from nobody. I don't get sick. I don't need nothing. I'll grow gills and breathe like a fish. Thank you once again, Dennis Leary, for your impression of John Wayne. Anywho, after reason finally kicks pride out of the way and says, for God's sakes, let the medical people take care of you, Wheezy. They give me a breathing treatment. Sit down at the computer, start doing my work, do the breathing treatment, start to feel better. Get called down to booking. Having a hard time breathing again. But I make it. Sit down, do what I got to do, go into the office. Between my office and booking, it's a short walk. I'm able to handle most of that. And then I got to go into a housing unit to go see some people. Mind you, folks, this is not a college campus. These are reasonable walks. Walks I've been doing for now 3 years, basically. And I can't make it. I can't walk from where booking was to where the housing unit is without having to stop and take a break because I'm too tired. Not like sleepy tired. Like I can't breathe tired. Get to the housing unit and I'm literally putting my stuff down, wiping sweat off my brow, and trying to take a breath. And I can't because it hurts. I can't breathe. So I'm taking shallow breaths, quick shallow breaths, because if I try to take a deep breath, my heart hurts. I see some guys in the housing unit. I get called back to booking. Okay. Go back to booking. I nearly collapse. Nearly just fall straight down. I'm wheezing. People are running. People are leaving, like what they're supposed to be doing with their job to come check me out, because I'm now wheezing. I can't hold myself straight up. You know, I've got the medical, you know, I got the ARNP provider. I've got the booking nurses all like trying to save me, I guess. I don't know, from myself, because I can't function. And I get another breathing treatment, which then causes me to vomit, by the way. Okay. I'm not vomiting liquid, like clear mucus out of my lungs from the breathing treatment, which should have been a sign something was terribly wrong. So antibiotics, that was the word I was looking for before. Take an antibiotic, hook me up with some other stuff, finish the breathing treatment. I decided I am not going back down to another housing unit because that almost killed me. Finish my day at work. Go home. Thankfully, I'm not due back in until tomorrow night because I switched shifts with somebody so that I could work overnight for New Year's. Something I've been wanting to do for a couple of years now because that's party night and I want to be where the action is. Story for another day. So get up. Oh, by the way, I didn't go straight home. I mean, I did, but I didn't stay home. Because that was the night of the Ronda Rousey fight, all 48 seconds of it. And so instead of going home and staying, I just went home, took off my uniform, grabbed the kids, grabbed the wife, went back to went to my friend's house, where I proceed to shiver, where I proceed to not breathe again. And, like, this is the worst it's been. Okay, I literally, like, I'm going, like, I'm panting, basically, like a dog. Finally, someone gives me an albuterol, asthma pump. I'm only supposed to take two hits off this thing. And I'm like, you know, by the fifth one, someone said, you need to stop. And for about 5-10 minutes, I'm breathing like a functional human being again. And after a while, I just said, I can't. I think by 10 o'clock, I said, I can't take this anymore. I want to go home. Want to go home. I never want to go home. I'm always pushing to do more and more and more. You know, I don't know when to stop. And that night, fucking, I knew when to stop. Whew, did I know when to stop. So I went home. I slept by myself in the bedroom. You know, Melissa having to go back to school in a couple of days. Slept in Jonas's room. Jonas slept in Lily's room. And figured maybe a good night's sleep, I'll feel better. I still think it's a sinus infection, by the way. Okay? It's a sinus infection. This is all sinus infection, right? So I get a good night's sleep. I get a good night's sleep and I wake up and I feel like ass still, but I'm due to take my kids to a New Year's Eve party at my gym, which is like 11 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I take them. I'm not going to get into some of the details here, but there was some bathroom stuff happening. It's a little embarrassing. A little connection to the antibiotics. Tear up your digestive system. Tear up your stomach. So, dealt with that. cleaned myself up as best I could and skedaddled onto the New Year's Eve little kids party that I promised I would take them to. You might be asking yourself, stupid. And it's okay if you call me stupid, especially after all this. Why didn't you just send Melissa? Because I said I would take him. And I didn't want to burden Melissa with having to take her kids to a party that I planned to take them to. I didn't know at the time I had the plague, by the way. But I did sit away from people. You know, I also had some questions about some other stuff that was happening with this place and Jonas, and just had some billing issues that I wanted to take care of, and I did not trust Melissa to handle that. Let's put a little circle around I did not trust Melissa. We're going to come back to it. So, go there. The kids have a good time. I kind of sit by myself. I actually ran into an old friend that I used to work with. We talked for a while, and then I noticed that I'm going down quick. Like, I just feel horrible. And I can't breathe again. So pack the kids up, throw them out of the car, send Melissa a message. I've had enough. I'm going to the MinuteClinic. Okay. I have now been at this for, I just added 3 more minutes on the clock. So I have now been at this for half an hour to get to this point. Tell you this story. And we're finally at the whole reason I am calling this thing Happy Pneumonia New Year. So I go to the MinuteClinic, picture my story, tell her what's going on, what the deal is. Getting to the MinuteClinic, by the way, not driving. I mean, the walk from the parking lot to the front of the CVS to the MinuteClinic. For me, comparable to Frodo's journey to Mordor. For all you non-Lord of the Rings geeks, it was a long uphill walk. It's an actual flat carpet, and the parking spot was in front of the door. But it might as well have been around the earth, because I can't breathe, and I have to take small steps, because if I try to take a bigger step and exert myself, you know, by taking an adult step, I'm going to pass out. Go, sign in, calls me in, listens to my chest, take some tests. Says one of two things. Says, she asked me questions. She goes, having any chest pain? I said, well, generally no. But I know last night I had a really bad coughing spasm. And at the end of that spasm, I had a shooting pain from my left pectoral into my back. Just a sharp pain. Started at my pectoral, shot through my back. And I actually had to adjust the way that I slept because my chest hurt so much. He says, okay, is that normal? I'm like, well, it happened in that instance. And lately, if I've taken a deep enough breath, my heart hurts. Other than that, no, not common. Doesn't happen all the time. She says, sir, I'm going to need to refer you. I'm going to need to refer you to the ER. Okay. Fucking ER. I'm not. This is an emergency. I'm not dying. I have a gunshot wound. The fuck do I need to go to an ER? Just write me a script for some antibiotics or some nasal spray or some shit. Let's get this done. Well, I don't have the flu, which was her other thing. Not the flu. Okay. She says, sir, at this point, I've exhausted the limits of the... You need to go to the ER. You locals, county area. She goes, Florida Baptist in Plant City or Tampa General. Brandon, by the way, live, but the second two in the immediate area were South Florida Baptist in Plant City or Tampa General. Now I've had my fill of Tampa General, quite frankly. So I wasn't going there. And when the wife and the ARNP at the MinuteClinic says, don't go to Brandon, well, I may be an asshole, but I'm not totally stupid. So, public service announcement from the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network. If you are indeed driving yourself to the emergency room, skip Brandon Regional Hospital. Comes from strong recommendations. Anyway, so she says, I don't know if you have pneumonia. You've got some of the signs. You've got a fever. You've got some heart issues going on. You've had these symptoms now for quite some time, but you don't have all the symptoms necessarily of pneumonia. You need a chest x-ray for me to confirm that, which I can't do here. And I said, okay. Don't see why I need to go to the ER for that, but whatever. And she says, well, the other reason I want you to go to the ER is it could be a cardiac issue. Cardiac? I'm 40. Yeah, she says, let me stop you right there. Sounds like something I would say. Let me stop you right there. That's what I tell the inmates and the patients. Let me stop you right there. It's a way of signaling nothing you say is going to be right from here on in, so let's just skip the bullshit. She says, you're telling me your heart hurts. You've said it a few times. It's happened a few times. Your heart shouldn't hurt because you're breathing. Because you walked a slightly uphill gradient. You need to go to the ER and make sure you're not having a heart attack. Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not having no heart attack. And she said something that I have not let go of since she said it. I said, but I'm 40. And she said, that's about the right age. Are you fucking kidding me? 40? What am I doing? Steroids most of my life? Cocaine? Okay, I've been heavy, but 40? Heart attack? You ever just have, I mean, you hear the phrase, your life flashes before your eyes. And it usually happens in like traumatic, life-threatening moments. And I had one when a woman looks me in the eyes and tells me 40 is the right age to start having heart problems. And I thought about my grandfather, who had been heavy for most of his life, who drove a bus. And he used to eat to keep himself awake. Stop me if you've heard this before. Because I know I've talked about this with myself. That I was driving to Polk County. And I ate to keep myself awake. And I've been heavy most of my life. Now, my grandfather lived to be in his 80s. I go in my 80s, at least I lived an average age for my family in 21st century. I'm okay with that. I'd like to live longer. I'd like to download my consciousness into a robot or into the internet. But I read books that told me I could do it. We're in science fiction book. Real science says it's possible. Download your consciousness into technology. All right. It's cracking. I only got 40 years left. And then she says, you're at the right age, start having cardiac issues. And I think about my grandfather, who I'm a lot alike in many ways. And he had to have multiple heart surgeries. And he died looking pretty emaciated, pretty miserable. I mean, I know emotionally he was happy. He was dating, as a matter of fact, right up until he died. And I did not want to end up like my grandfather. So, paid my $25 copay, and off to the ER I went at South Florida Baptist Hospital. Went in, gave him a minute clinic paperwork. They gave me a breathing treatment. I threw up in the sink repeatedly. They gave me a chest x-ray. And they gave me some Motrin for my fever, which at this point was 103. Said, well, that's all we can do for you for now. Need to get the results of your x-ray. It's going to be a bit. Let's go sit in the lobby. All right. Sat in the lobby. Waited for my results. Come back in. The fever had dropped 2 degrees by this point. They gave me something else at that point. The doctor comes in. She says, he says rather, hey, bud, you have pneumonia. Now, what's funny about that is, again, this is Saturday. I was at work Friday. I'm still planning to go into work. I'm hoping they can, like, give me a shot or something and be like, you're fine. Go to work. Because I still want to go to work. I need to go to work. This may sound weird to a lot of you, but it's very hard to find a replacement in what I do at the last minute. Not to mention, it's also against company policy to same day call off. So in my paranoid android mind, can't call off. It's a same day call off on one of the busiest nights of the year. Not to mention, it's harder to get somebody to replace on overnights than it is on day shift, because who the fuck wants to work overnight except this psycho right here? I can't call off. I'm going to get written up, possibly fired. I literally text that almost word for word to my boss. You can have a doctor's note. You'll be fine. Okay. I texted that to her too, and she, God bless her, she said, you're fine. It's fine. Bring your paperwork in case you do need it. But you're on the team. I believe you that you really have pneumonia. It's, I can't believe I'm actually saying that out loud. Coming into work, we will find a replacement. It's fine. Okay, well, whew, dodged a bullet there. Priorities, once again. So, I have pneumonia. I don't know how long I've had it. I don't know exactly when I got it. I don't know if it was Thursday. I don't know if it was Wednesday. I have no idea how long I've had this. But I got it. And it's why I can't breathe. All right. Well, thank God I'm already on antibiotics. Because if you're wondering, well, Jesus, you idiot, how long have you had the pneumonia that you decided to take your kids to the New Year's thing and you went to work and you did, Jesus, you outbreak monkey, what have you done? Well, apparently after a few days of antibiotics, you're not contagious anymore. That's the good news. I'm getting ahead of myself. Shoo. I pay my $250 copay. There's a thanks, Obama, that would have punctuated that as kind of a joke. But I'm pretty sure with or without Obama, the Affordable Care Act, and a trip to the emergency room is probably a bit pricey. So I'm not gonna go for the low-hanging fruit on that one and just say I'm sure somewhere in the world it would have been free. Or at least it wouldn't have cost me anything at that particular moment. Wouldn't have had to pay cash. So I pay my $250 and I get my prescriptions and I start heading home. I got Taco Bell. Yeah, I'm not doing the diet so much this week, especially that day. Like, is that weird? Do to round this all back to the dieting thing. Is it weird that I get told you have pneumonia? You know, I get told that all of this that I've been talking about for like an hour now has led to this revelation, which I guess to some people, it's like, it's fucking pneumonia. Sucks, but could be worse. Okay, but if you don't get sick, like I hear my wife's friends and I hear my friends and people I talk to, and everyone's got some kind of crazy medical thing going on. We live in weird times, financially, politically, socially, technology-wise, medically. Everyone's got a weird story. And sometimes I feel like I'm either extraordinarily, like, obnoxiously lucky. It's me knocking on wood. Or the weirdness just hadn't come for me yet. Because I other than just being a fat ass, I mean, my other fat friend, my fat friend, my best friend in the world, has like shoulder problems, gout, and he struggles with weight, hence my fat friend. I say that with love, not harshness. And he tells me that all this like medical shit's got going on. And I'm like, yeah, I get my blood pressure and pulse every week. I'm just fat. I don't have any medical problems. You know? And it's like, how did I end up that way? And all these people around me have so many problems. The kids have problems. Like, I don't know why. It's luck of the draw, I guess. But so to hear that I had pneumonia was like earth shattering for me. And to you, it might be like, ooh, you are making a big deal out of nothing, pal. But I guess if you're used to nothing and something big enough happens, it can skew your view on things. And it certainly skewed mine. And remember a couple of months back when I said I'm an emotional eater? And I have been fighting this Taco Bell urge now for months, because there's nothing at Taco Bell that you can eat when you're on a protein diet. I suppose I could get it wrapped in lettuce, but Jesus Christ, that's hard enough to do at like burger joints without people looking at you weird, believe it or not. So fuck it. I just don't go to Taco Bell. Small price to pay. Not today. Went and got myself. You know what I went to Taco Bell? There apparently was some new steak burrito shit. It's probably what it was. But and I wanted it. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to use this as an excuse to have all the comfort foods that I've been missing lately. And they don't sell it anymore. At least not the Taco Bell I went to. Fuck me, right? Fuck me. No crazy new steak burrito shit thing from Taco Bell. So I got my old standby. My old gluttonous standby. I got myself a double XL grilled steak burrito. Got myself a Dr. Pepper. And I got myself a grilled chicken, Chipotle chicken griller. Went on the light side for me. You know, try to cut back. Anyway, grab my Taco Bell, go on CVS, get my pills, my albuterol, because I'm on a nebulizer. Which is actually when my daughter had walking pneumonia a couple of years ago, we were supposed to send them back to the nebulizer. We never did because we're assholes like that. And we dug that out of the closet. And I got my albuterol and I went home. My wife, you know, set me up, put me back in the bedroom, gave me my treatments. And that was that. Fucking pneumonia. That's not the end of this story. That was a long intro. People listening to this are going, what the fuck, dude? Get to the point. All right, here's the point. So I make it through the night. I'm starting to feel a little bit better now. You know, between the breathing treatments, the antibiotics, the steroids. I'm on steroids, by the way. Now I'm on steroids. Not, you know, I'm not injecting shit in my ass. You know, they give you the steroids for your lungs. It's the point that I was trying to make on a podcast years ago with Scott Kachowski about the medical need for steroids. This is the... I think I also was trying to make this point to Jeff Harris, but talking to him is sometimes like talking to the wall. Hi, Jeff. So, Jeff Harris of 401 Mania fame. So anyway, this is one of those instances where medical steroids are a necessity. So I'm on steroids, I'm on antibiotics, I'm on albuterol, something else, I don't remember what. And I get up the next morning, like I said, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I'm breathing a little bit easier. Now, here's what I've been told. You have pneumonia. For fuck's sake, take it easy. Don't exert yourself. Your body can't take it. You're on a lot of stuff that's going to affect your heart. Don't exert yourself. Just stay in the bed and don't bother nobody and just take it easy. Let the medication heal you. But I get up. It's funny. My wife's about to hear me talk about this, and this is the part that's about her. I hear her struggling with the kids. I hear her getting frustrated. Yeah, she's had to take care of me. She had to take care of a 2.8-year-old, you know, Jonas, almost three. Mostly a pain in the ass. Had to take care of my damn near 6-year-old, at least six, in 3 days. And the house has still got Christmas all over it. And I hear this woman dealing with these animals, dealing with me, and I hear pain in her voice. I hear pain in her heart. And mostly in my own head, I'm going to stress that because she can hear me now. I want to make sure she knows this is what's happening in my head. It's not real life. You got that? Thank you. What I hear is in my head, I can't handle this on my own. I need to be saved. Someone can save me because I can't handle my sick husband and my two asshole kids by myself in this crowded as fuck Christmas home. So I put on my shorts and I put on my triple X camouflage thermal that I've been spitting on most of the night, spitting the phlegm out from the liquid currently submerging my lungs, making it hard for me to breathe, hence the need for the breathing treatments. I throw that on. It's a good choice for me. And I kick open the door like it's an old Western. And what she really needed was to sit down on the couch next to her and maybe control a kid or two. Maybe get them to settle down just a smidgen. Here's my reaction to what I perceive to be happening and what I think should be happening. Is to basically shove my wife out of the way and say, fuck this. I'm taking over. The man has awoken. I have entered the building. This is the part where the Ultimate Warrior and the Incredible Hulk come out. Okay? This is the self-image that I have of myself. That I am one part this 80s wrestler with fucking tassels on his arms and colorful face paint and long wavy hair. And he would speak in these – if you don't know who the Ultimate Warrior is, you should because he's very famous. But This fucking guy had like the body of a god, a Greek god, and he was all decked out in what you could only Twisted Sister, okay? Just like Twisted Sister, kabuki face paint, and Greek god body. That's who I think I am at times. Oh, and I'm also the Incredible Hulk. I have an obsession with muscular men. I'm not gay. I'm just saying. So there's this like angry green monster living inside of me and this 80s wrestler. And that's who I turned into. Basically. What came out of me. And now I've got these kids running around this house cleaning up their Christmas stuff. Itself enough, probably more than enough. But do you remember earlier when I said I don't know when to stop? It is amazing I haven't done drugs. I had a bit of a drinking problem once upon a time, but never done drugs or had a gambling problem because I don't know when to stop. So, having said that, it wasn't enough just to get the kids to clean up the toys that they had out, put them in their room. Because you see, I have a tradition. Tradition. And that tradition is the day after New Year's Day, Christmas must leave the building. Oh yes. Every New Year's Day, I pick up that goddamn tree and throw it out of my house. I take back the land that I lost to the children. I reclaim it. Conquering army. I move the hordes, beasts, out of my living room. I drive them back into their homes, into the caves, and I reclaim this land for Radulich. What? You know it's the truth. And I thought, in my state of mind, in my state of physical health, it would be a good idea to do that. Did I mention I had pneumonia and was told specifically not to do stuff like this? So I'm running the kids around the house, getting them to clean up all their toys. I'm breaking down boxes and putting them in the garbage. I'm collecting bags of garbage and throwing them in the garbage. I'm out of breath telling you the story. I take down all the ornaments, put them in their ornament boxes. My wife starts packing up all the decorations. Oh yeah, take down all the lights and everything. I finally grab the tree. I grab the tree by one, the Christmas tree by one hand, proceed to open the back door and tilt it and proceed to march my happy ass into the backyard. My hand and carried out most of the living room with me. Just tree stand, couldn't get it off, just walked out with it. Tree stand caught a table, table caught a thing, thing caught the thing, and everything fucking backyard. Kind of turned around and left a path of destruction fucking in my wake. And my wife says to Lily, she says, "You want to go get the table? Daddy just dragged into the backyard." Anyway. So I'm back there and got pneumonia. I'm in flip-flops, shorts, and thermal. And I'm in the backyard trying to work the tree stand out of the tree, which is something I normally do with a saw and a hammer. I'm going to try to do it with my bare hands. It's a good thing to do when you have pneumonia. And finally give up on that because I mean, I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. So I'm like, all right, this is a job for some tools that I don't quite have on me or fill up to using right now. So I'm going to let this go. Put it down, go back in the house. Start sweeping. Got to sweep up all the needles now. And I got to get under the couch because God forbid there be any toys or needles or garbage that have gone under the couch. And I got to get underneath the TV because God forbid any toys and needles or garbage have gone underneath the tele. I'm up and I'm down, okay? Understand what I'm saying? I'm literally up, standing upright. I'm down on the ground. I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. And suddenly, I feel like, get ready, everybody. Here's the M. Night Shyamalan twist to this tale. I feel like I'm going to pass out. Dun, dun, dun. Of course I feel like I'm going to pass out. I have pneumonia. I proceed to sit down on the couch. And I can barely breathe. I can barely move. I've overdone it a smidgen. Just a touch. Just a little bit. I wiggled it just a little bit. That's when the crying started. I broke down on the couch and cried. Like, I had a breakdown, basically. I had an emotional breakdown in the middle of my living room. And when my wife, sort of half worried, half annoyed, looked at me and was like, "But why?" And I said, "Because I can't do anything." That literally were my words. I can't do anything. Now, you'd think I was crippled the way I was talking and all I, you know, and maybe in a certain sense I was, but, you know, to anyone that has actually got a physical handicap going on, I'm sure they like to hit me with whatever they need to be mobile with at that, you know, for saying such a stupid thing. But, you know, it's my diary. It's how I felt at the time. Judge me if you want. So I'm having this mental breakdown. I'm sad. I'm sad that my body has physically betrayed me. I'm sad that for the first time I feel like in my life, something besides weight is holding me back. I'm sad I can't do a simple thing like clean the house. I'm sad I have pneumonia, basically. I'm sad that I'm an earthling. I'm sad that something happened that I have no control over. I'm sad that I have to rest. I'm sad that I have to take it easy because I'm the fucking Hulk. I can run through walls head first and come off the other side just a little dusty. I'm the ultimate goddamn warrior. I run to the ring and I shake the ropes. And I take out the honky-tonk man and win the Intercontinental title in like 13 seconds. Except that I'm not any of those things. One's a comic book character that is now actually a Korean boy. Read the Totally Awesome Hulk, you'll understand. The other one's a dead wrestler. So I'm not any of those things. But in my head, as Eddie Izzard would say, in my mind, I still have this sort of teenage mentality that I'm 8 feet tall and bulletproof. And when I'm reminded that I'm not, I am a mere mortal, a 40-year-old man who is going to have to start taking his health seriously or he's going to die because something's going to happen that I don't see coming again. And I'm not going to take care of it soon enough again. And this time it won't be fucking pneumonia. It'll be something worse. And I'm going to be doing a podcast going, this is now the third time this has happened. And I didn't listen to myself. And all that came out on the couch. All of what I just said. This realization for the first time in 6 months because I turned 40 in June. First time in 6 months I've really come face to face with my age. Really feel it until then. First time, as much as I've been thinking about my life, I've had to come face to face with mortality. You know, my mother is in the hospital again, and that's weighing very heavily on my mind. So, had a good cry about it. And she kicked me out of the living room. She said, go! Speaking of taking back the living room, she said, get out of here. You need to go lay on some clean sheets and fucking relax, you psycho. Lovingly, she said. So I did. Some time went by. And we had this conversation. Everything I just told you. And I cried again. Oh, and this time I had a nosebleed. Okay? I literally got so emotional and I got so, like, crazed and everything just came out of me again that I had a nosebleed like a cocaine addict. I'm bleeding. You all right?
That hurts.
What'd you step on this time?
It would be a traffic cone.
Oh, ouch.
Same foot?
Oh, good. The other foot?
Yep.
All right. All right. Anyway, that's a podcast for a different day. How Melissa became footless. So anyway, so we have this conversation. She's upset because she feels like I have, you know, remember when I said draw the circle around I don't trust Melissa after that? So here we go. She goes, I feel like you don't trust me when you do what you did this morning. And I said, okay. And and here we are. Lesson learned. Melissa doesn't need to be saved. She'd be backed up. But stop saving her, stupid. Because that's not what's called for. And it certainly isn't what's called for when you have pneumonia. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Great. Moving on. So nosebleed. Cocaine. Right. Well, I'm streaming blood out of my nose. Spitting blood, okay? Blood in my sinuses. It's blah, blah, blah. No, overdramatic would be to compare to, like, you know, The Shining or something like that.
I know you're podcasting everything, but you are way overdramatic.
But it was true!
Not blood. There was blood.
I mean, again, it wasn't like A Nightmare on Elm Street. It wasn't, you know, rotating around the room, blood everywhere. But, you know, I blew my nose. There was blood, a lot of it. I spit into the towel. There was blood, a lot of it. Freaking out because I've never had that happen before. Again, this is something you see. Cocaine happens and this happens, but not fucking. What? Why? Pneumonia. It'd be funny if I had passed out at that point. It'd be funny if I passed out in the middle of this podcast. No, that's not what happened. So I took that as a sign that I needed to calm the fuck down. Wouldn't you say? And she did explain to me that a ruptured capillary thing going on, and it's not uncommon for that sort of thing to happen. I should not take it as a sign that I am having an embolism of some sort. Just went back to watching Netflix. I think at that point I was finishing off the. I never finished watching the last season of Rescue Me. The brain. So I went back to doing that again. And I had kind of that behavior that I'm describing to you, the need to not take care of myself, this feeling of invincibility, constant resorting to rage to accomplish things. This finds its way into my job as well. I don't mean for it to, and I don't want to talk too much about it because talking about your job can get you fired. and I know that I'm friends with some people on the internet outside of work at them. So I will leave it at some of my coworkers, whether they realize it or not, like I treat my wife. Which is to say, I do it all for them because I don't trust them to do it themselves. And I just got a dirty look. I don't know why you gave me a dirty look. We've had this conversation. You have heard this podcast in real life. Fuck, what did you think? I was going to come up with something different?
No.
So,
I don't like the truth.
So learning to people and stop taking everything as personal offense if it doesn't get done the way that I want it done is something I need to work on. See, these diaries that I do are, like I said, therapeutic for me. Number one, because some way. I'm not a stand-up comedian. These aren't jokes. These are stories. And I don't got the fucking time to start doing two-minute comedy shows and work my way up to the HBO special. Or the Netflix special, I guess, would be the thing now. And tell you an hour, two-hour-long story. They get the Mike Birbiglia where I, you know, do an entire show on how he got to, I
just want to be happy.
I don't have to be right. Flex. This is the outlet that I have to get this stuff out. And I do it not necessarily to be self-indulgent, but because I actively want to work on myself. And I want to be a better person. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. And I think I want to be a better coworker. I put on Facebook something very cryptic. I said, I want to be less Hulk. And I want to be more Silver Age. Sebastian, Silver Age. Or... if you're a big comic nerd, please spare me the and just understand that I'm doing this from what I remember. So if my details are a little off, it's not the fucking point. Silver Age for something along the lines of what you saw in the movies. He was a giant ego. He was out of control ego. And he was banned. He was... exiled from Asgard. He needed to be humbled. And his human alter ego was a doctor with a lame leg. He had a crippled leg. I think something along the lines of he found a hammer in a cave or whatever, something. He would bang the cane, basically, that he used to walk, and it would turn into the hammer, and the hammer would turn him into Thor. Again. I'm probably missing a detail here, but who fucking cares? If you're listening to this for the comics talk, you have picked the wrong podcast. So anyway, the point of me bringing that up is this whole experience
has made me take a good
hard look at myself. And maybe to some of you, it's like, ooh, you're being a little hard on yourself. You know, but think about what I've been talking about. It takes me 2 brushes with illness severe enough for me to start taking my health seriously. I have to be threatened that I'm possibly having a heart attack, basically. Then I get told I have pneumonia, and it's like, oh, the light bulb fucking goes off. It says, you know, maybe now you should start taking your health a little bit more seriously. And then, you know, it takes me having a physical and then emotional collapse on the couch for me to start looking at my wife and the people around me and think, you know, maybe I need to be a little bit more trusting. Maybe I need to stop letting go, to let go of, you know, I've never thought of myself as a controlling person, but I guess in a lot of ways I am. Because I have a need for people to do things the way that I want them to. Tom. But I do. People don't do things the way I want them to. And I can't tell them that, so I keep a lot of that to myself. You know, I try to help people, but I think I do it in a very obnoxious way. Going off. I do it by... I don't mean it as a brag a lot of times, but it's more of I sort of talk about myself and I go, well, I did this. I just put it out there. And I assume on by going, oh, well, if you did that, rise up to your level and possibly even surpass you accomplishing the thing that you did myself. And surprise, it doesn't ever work out that way.
I'm in my bed. Yeah.
So, you probably just heard that in the background, which is probably a sign I should wrap this up soon. Weezy Jr. Hi,
hey.
Weezy.
Hey.
In any case, that was the whole point here. Was by the second nosebleed, especially, and explaining a lot of this to the aforementioned Tom, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself to push everybody around me to be what I think they should be. You know, to save people with my giant ego. And I could stand to learn some humility. This is what's happened. You know, in a way, having this happen to me has been a humbling experience. It certainly reminded me of my mortality. Reminded me that I need the people in my life. Done without Melissa through all this. Yeah, I need my coworkers. I need my friends. I need my social supports. And I'm not going to have those things if I continue to half Hulk, half Ultimate Warrior. So, humility. That's the medicine that I've learned to take from this. That's the humble pie, to call it, I guess. But also, if I get sick, it's morphed into something horrible to do something about it. Because I don't know if this was preventable, but I feel like it was. And maybe it wasn't. A big, long, winding tail that would have ended in pneumonia no matter what I did. But I'd like to believe that if I had handled this back when I first hurt my heart by breathing, maybe this could have been prevented. But that's it. I told a friend about it. Had another nosebleed. Had another breakdown, actually. Then the nosebleed happened. And I said, okay, I'm going to get through the story at least once without crying. That's how I'm going to end the story. I made it through the story without crying. Woo! I'm going to go take a breathing treatment now. Hopefully without vomiting. I haven't really done that in a while. Dinner with my family. That does not need saving. Just needs me to be around. Maybe be less of a dick. Stop nodding so vociferously over there. And see you on the other side. We got a podcast we're going to record this week. It'll air Monday on the Flintstones. And we got some Metal Hammer of Doom coming up and On Trial. So for all of that. All right. Until I got something else to say, this is your mandated reporter signing off. 2017. Be well, be safe.